all about her. Her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio. Starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
All right, look inside your purse. Come on, girlfriend. You got any cash in there, Michelle?
Credit cards.
Okay, see, now I knew she was going to say that, everyone. Are you listening in? Okay, so are you feeling financially distraught? That's code for OMG, no money. All right, how about some ways to be able to avoid debt? How about we do that, and how about we do that with the best person on this entire planet? Of course, I never use hyperbole, who can be the expert to help guide us through these questions. Sharon Lecter is an entrepreneur, author, philanthropist, educator, international speaker. Do you remember that whole series, Rich Dad, Poor Dad? She co-authored that series that became an international bestseller, and she's back with a brand new book, and it's called Think and Grow Rich for Women. I'm very happy, along with Michelle, to have contributed to this book, and I just think it's A+. Sharon, we're so excited you're on the show. We want to kind of dive right in here on Her Radio and start going through the 8 ways to avoid debt, starting with, what about that debt percentage? What is that?
Well, thank you, Pam. Michelle, I'm delighted to be with you. The first question is, you know, everybody is either one of two things, a master or a slave to the money. And it hits home a little bit too close when you think about that, whether you are a master of your money or a slave to it. And the first way to start to determine that is to look at your debt percentage. How much of your money are you spending on debt? And how much are you spending, for instance, on your housing? It's a great way to look at national averages and to determine if you're really a slave to your money instead of a master of it.
So, Sharon, give us some tips on and tricks on how we can not be a slave to our money anymore.
Well, the first thing, my dad always told me, a map doesn't do you any good if you don't know where you are and where you're going. And so the first thing is to figure out where you are financially and start by checking your credit score, you know, because that's really going to help you open doors, or doors are going to slam in your face. And the first thing to do is to check that report and see if there's any mistakes, get it cleared up, and you know, start living the life where you know that you are keeping your credit rating as good as it can.
Excellent.
Make sure you're not using more than 30% of your outstanding credit, and that's a good way to start getting that credit score going up.
And how about establishing a budget? How about that budget?
Absolutely. Well, I like to use the word spending plan, Pam. People don't like the word budget.
Well, wait a minute now. It was right here on the damn script, you know. So
I'd never say that B word.
Yeah, you know, everybody thinks that you say budget.
Michelle,
feel like
put that credit card down.
Yeah, it makes it restrictive. But we want people to create spending plans so that at the end of the day, one thing you need to do is spend less than you earn. And if everybody could do that, we'd be in a whole lot better shape.
So, and then what about identifying wants versus needs?
Yeah, and what time of day is it, right?
Exactly. period that you need to go out
and
shop?
Wait a minute. I know what time of day is. It's buy o'clock.
It's shop o'clock.
It's shop o'clock.
A lot of people
it's
10 have
minutes
ways
to
of,
shop.
Yes, a lot of people have ways of justifying wants as needs. Oh, I need that. I need that. And of course, the advertising world spends a lot of money putting things right in front of your face, and you, right as you're checking out, you go, "Oh, I need this. I need this." So you need to set back and figure out what is a want and what is a need, and make sure you do that. And a great instrument to help you analyze that is when you're in the store and you went for one thing and you've got 5 things, and you look at them and you go, "I just have to have that." I practice what I call the 2-minute rule, and I literally put it back on the rack and walk away from it for 2 minutes and allow that emotion to kind of subside and start thinking about, do I really need that? Is that something that is really important to me? And typically after 2 minutes, I've figured out that I don't really need it. Or if I do, I want to go ahead and buy it because I've decided that it is in the need category. But exercise a 2-minute rule and you'll start preventing a whole lot of unnecessary purchases.
So what about using cash versus credit cards?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there who just really have become slaves to the plastic, slaves to the credit cards, and they don't realize how out of control they are. And for them, I actually recommend that they keep the credit cards at home and present their own little spending plan in cash. A lot of people use envelopes where they have a certain amount of cash for each one, just at least for a couple of weeks so that they realize how much money they're really spending. It's often eye-opening and very revealing as to what kind of how much cash is flowing through your fingers.
Right.
Well, that how about saving for setbacks? Okay, you always want to have that little war chest, right?
Well, it's so important, and certainly 2008 showed us, you know, when the economy went upside down, that there's a lot of setbacks, but sometimes it's just a flat tire, a broken window, and you have to find the cash to do it. So we try and recommend that people look at 3 to 6 months of their monthly spending plans to set aside into that emergency rainy day fund that will help you bounce off of those issues and problems that happen to you in life. And then in doing that, and as we talk about all this, I always want people to celebrate. You know, and I know you guys talk about losing weight, and I've talked about this before, and when you set that 50-pound goal, it seems like it's pretty unattainable. So you may have $100,000 in debt and just feel totally immobile and not able to chip away at it. But start setting little manageable goals, what I call little wins. So take your smallest credit card, the smallest amount that you owe, and pay it off and celebrate the fact that you've paid off one credit card and you have one fewer credit cards. If you, instead of trying to lose 50 pounds, set a goal to lose 5 pounds.
Right.
And then if you start having those little wins along the way, all of a sudden you're going to wake up and you're a lot closer to paying off that $100,000 or losing that 50 pounds.
So, Sharon, now that we've talked and you've given us these great tips, tell me, just give our audience, tell us why you wrote Think and Grow Rich for Women. What were the top 3 things you wanted to get accomplished with this book?
Well, the original Think and Grow Rich came out in the 30s, and so Napoleon Hill had written it for over 20 years, and it was certainly written from a man's perspective at a time when all the titans of business were men. And I believe the steps to success, Michelle and Pam, are the same for men and women, but we tend to address those and approach those steps very differently. So I wanted to reinvigorate the messages of Think and Grow Rich through the eyes of successful women. I highlight over 300 women in the book. And it was really because we are at a tipping point in business, and I want to change the dialogue. I want to have women stop complaining and criticizing about the stuff that's going on in the business world, and let's start celebrating the accomplishments that have been made. So, for instance, we complain that there are not enough women CEOs in Fortune 500 companies. We have 24. Do we need more? Yes. But in the year 2000, there were only 2. So let's celebrate the fact that we've gone from 2 to 24. If we can start using celebration instead of criticizing and complaining, we're going to see more progress more quickly for women. And the third really personal reason is I grew up as the queen of guilt. And I can't stand the word balance except when it relates to yoga, because
right,
people are always striving for work-life
right,
balance,
right,
and they always
right,
feel
right,
like they're out of balance.
So you say so one big life. I'm going to say it for
yeah,
you.
My
exactly,
last chapter,
well, you know,
is
Sharon,
one big life.
Right. And Sharon, I can't thank you enough for sharing these words of wisdom with everyone. Everyone, Sharon Lecter, the name of the book is Think and Grow Rich for Women. And Michelle King Robeson and I have both contributed to the book. It's fabulous. Get out there, buy it. We thank you so much for being on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson.
Let's change the dialogue for women, celebrate our successes as women, and live one big life. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.